Blog Talk Radio.
That's right, everybody. You know who it is. Coach Mike Jones on the coach with the most. Coming at you hard from coast to coast. I don't want to boast, but now I got to roast you in my social media posts. You double dose, or diagnose. You feeling tired, life inspired, now you're a ghost. I'll be your host, so won't you raise a toast to the coach with the most, Coach Mike Jones.
Another edition of the Coach Mike Jones Show podcast, episode 57. I'm proud and honored to have Native American legend Suma Tiwokla. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing okay. How are you doing out there?
We're doing great here in Washington. Where are you at today?
Today I'm out here in Texas.
Right on. Okay, nice. Okay, time for the first-timer question. What got you into the crazy world of professional wrestling?
Well, I think this question goes with most every professional. You grow up watching it. You see all the legends doing what they do and capturing your imagination, giving you that urge and that drive to want to be there and entertain. And I think more so with myself that I wanted to contribute and give back while I was growing up. Native Americans, indigenous people really didn't have a whole lot to look up to as far as figures. You know, even I don't know if a lot of people paid attention to this, but even the cartoons were racist, man.
Yeah.
You flip on old Bugs Bunny, and he's over there talking about shooting one little, two little, three little Indians, and no one cared. And that's the reality of the way we grew up, you know. And
exactly.
I'm not saying that racism for our culture is done, but we're in a better standing today because we can stand up and speak out. And I think this platform that I've earned and I've been given has helped me do so for my culture and my people.
Exactly. And man, you know, I can tell you myself, like I was telling you earlier, that you know, Native American wrestling is not represented in Washington State, I can tell you that. And I would love to have a little circuit go around all these tribes here. You know, that's a goal of mine. And I would nobody better to lead the charge than you, brother.
Well, if there's really anyone interested in Washington, I'm sure that this show will have my contact information available. If not, there's Facebook, Instagram, any type of social media you can link up with me and send me a message. I'm willing to travel. Obviously, I travel all around the world, so Washington really isn't that far of a step. you know.
Yeah, right on.
And for the people, I'll do it.
Nice. And man, you know, speaking of the people, and man, I look up to you, brother, for what you've done. And tell the fans what you do for your people.
Well, I don't want it to be like a bragging thing, but like I help out with the homeless. I'll take time out to travel to different states just to spend time with the native youth at say a kickball game. I'll go drive six hours just to play with the native youth at a kickball game and do some signings. I'll bring them some T-shirts and my slam buddies, you know, stuff like that. And I just want them to know that there's someone here to look up to, and you don't got to take that wrong path, that wrong road, because I know what that's like. I did that.
Yeah, you know, and it's sort of a different question. Like you said, it was just like a fan question wrote in and wanted me to remind the fans that you do a lot for the people. So that was where that question stemmed from, you know. So anyway, other than that, let's go on to my basic questions. Who were your heroes growing up? And that includes ordinary life, pro wrestling, music, and sports, all the above.
Oh, this is simple. As far as heroes go, someone to look up to, that was always my mom.
Nice.
My mom was the strongest person that I could look up to. She was strength. She was native beauty. She was everything to me. She was my best friend till she had crossed over, you know. And I never really knew my dad.
Okay, yeah.
My dad was very abusive to me, my mom, and my brother while we were young. And we were put in the foster system. So my mom was able to get us out.
Okay, yeah.
So we didn't grow up easy.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, I know. I hear you on that. Exactly. Same here. What about in wrestling, sports, and music?
Sports, you know, I always liked Will Clark.
Okay,
I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah,
I liked his drive for the game, his dedication. He was a good baseball player.
Hey, didn't he always have a smile on his face? Even if he struck out four times in a game, I mean, he never changed.
Always positive. Always positive. And you didn't see him really flipping out. None of that.
Yeah, and then if they have it for the definition of clutch, they should show his picture.
That's right. That's right.
Okay. All right. So
now,
I'm going to give them all out of you.
Okay, as far as wrestling goes, this is like on the other end of the spectrum. I'm going to have to go with Bruiser Brody.
Yeah, okay. All right.
He's a tough guy.
He was amazing.
That was the man. You know,
exactly.
He knew what he was doing in the ring, and if you didn't, he would let you know.
I know, and then throughout the arena, and then through the country and the world, they knew it too.
It didn't matter where you were at. Like, you knew who Bruiser Brody is even today.
Yeah.
Most people know.
Yeah. I got a quick Bruiser Brody story. It's like when he debuted on TBS Wrestling for, it was Georgia Championship Wrestling back then in the 80s or something. Here's how he debuted.
Okay.
Two guys were wrestling. He jumped in the ring and beat the shit out of both of them and then got out of the ring and said, "Hey, guys, I'm here. I'm ready for a match." I'm like,
yeah,
what a better way to come into the arena, because I've seen what he did before that for like 5 years, you know. It's like, geez, a whiz. Guy's a dynamo.
Yeah, no
okay.
Better way to make an impact.
Exactly. And then you're welcome to give us more than one hero in each field.
Kurt Angle is an easy one. Mr. Perfect.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Kurt Henning is the man. Bray Wyatt. I like
yeah.
the way he captivated the crowd. And
yes, definitely.
They didn't lie during his memorial. Yeah. No one for such a long time has captivated a crowd like him.
Yeah, exactly.
He had more
exactly.
than eight. So.
Mm-hmm. Man. And it's
that
sad
was a, that
he
was a
left behind a wife and two kids, you know, also, my goodness. Along with Terry Funk, too,
yeah.
Can't forget him passing away this last week also.
Oh, man. That's one of the hardcore icons.
Goodness, yes.
There's no way you could overlook Terry Funk. There's nothing he ain't been through, gone through,
yeah.
or done.
Exactly. And then just look at his Chainsaw Charlie deal. Just that alone was amazing.
But see, now with all that, right, they still had
yeah.
the sensitivity and kindness to stop and take people by the side and help them backstage.
Oh, yeah. And then
you know,
back to the hold on a second. Back to the Chainsaw Charlie era. Right around then is when he was like went to ECW and like revitalized his career with all these backflips and crazy shit. It's like, what the hell? He's better than ever.
Well, I think he knew that he had to push it to kickstart
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
You know. And once he did, it was a snowball effect because everyone fed off that energy.
Yeah.
Everyone in the locker
Goodness.
Room. And
and then,
I know,
come
I,
on, man. Are we gonna see stuff like that again? We sure hope so, but it doesn't look very optimistic.
Not anytime soon.
I know, yeah.
I could say that honestly, like none of the major players want to pick up and do anything like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And you can go on the circuit and find that. But with
yeah,
that type of charisma,
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, huh. Okay, and then lastly, your heroes in music.
Music. Now that's a hit and miss with me.
Okay.
I go from my indigenous influences to whatever's playing on the radio. I don't really get stuck on one type or one band or anything like that.
Okay, and then so. I guess since we were talking about music and then the way you gave your answer, I'll go to my favorite segment. I'm sure Sign Guy, my co-host of Turnbuckle Turmoil, who somehow has no-showed me today, something's up. He's not even answering. So I'm hoping he's okay.
Uh-huh.
Other than that, I'm sure Sign Guy and the rest of the fans would like to know what your favorite coffee to drink is.
Black. Okay.
Very boring.
Okay,
the strongest black coffee I could get.
Okay, but no particular brand either.
Nah, no, just whatever.
Okay.
As long as it's I'm true to my indigenous culture. If it's a mud, I'm good.
Okay, sweet. Okay, and then what's been your favorite concerts you've ever seen?
System of a Down, good.
Oh, I've
Ozzy
never
was
seen
good.
Okay.
Slipknot was okay. I've been to a lot of rock concerts.
Okay. All right, and then in your lifetime, what have been your favorite sports teams besides, I would imagine, the San Francisco Giants with Will Clark, maybe?
Growing up the way I did, I wasn't really privy to a lot of sports. So I didn't grow up with sports.
Okay, yes, all right. Okay,
so
yeah, exactly.
The first time I was really introduced to sports was my sixth grade teacher, and it's because he was my chess teacher.
Okay, yeah.
Fun little fact about me, I'm a chess champion. I'm actually in books for winning chess tournaments.
Okay.
He would bring us to sports games. That's where I learned about the Giants and the Golden State Warriors.
Okay, yeah, so right on. Okay, nice. Sweet, okay. So then one of my other basic questions are, did you play sports in high school or growing up? Probably not growing up, but maybe when you got to high school.
When I got to high school, I got to play football, obviously wrestling. I played everything, really.
Okay, cool. Yeah, once you got introduced, man, there's no, I mean, it gets in your blood, man. You do want to play everything. You're like, not only do I love sports so much in general, I want to see what I'm good at. You know what I mean? Something like that.
It was the way I had to push myself and the attention.
Yeah, okay.
Craved that, and I think that was another draw from professional wrestling. Like, you can't beat that. There's no drug on earth like that. There's no drug like adrenaline. None.
Yeah,
I do
moonsaults.
I do the backflips. I do all that. And when I do one of those dive outs, the crowd loses it. And I can't explain it. The whole place is on fire.
Okay. Wow, sweet. That's impressive. Man, I'm really enjoying your story, brother. You know, and
thank you.
Let's see. So what about your self-defense background?
Self-defense took a little bit of shoot, Kenpo, Taekwondo, Jiu-Jitsu. Started in some Krav Maga, but didn't finish that. I should have. I like the grappling.
Okay, nice. That's impressive. I love those styles. Yes. Okay, now let's see here. What are your suggestions for people who might want to get into the business?
Okay, look. These days, we got a lot of younger people wanting to get in, and they have this sense of self-entitlement and I deserve this, I deserve that, I need this, I need that. When we were getting into the business, it was just shut up and soak things up like a sponge. We need to get back to that, because that whole entitlement thing is ruining what we've built, ruining what the people before us have built and bled and sweat and tears and lost families for. Like, people have died doing this, trying to build this up, and it's being destroyed. People don't respect the ways that were set before them. And people who are just getting into this or wanting to get into this need to remember, like, this used to be a brotherhood, a sisterhood, however you want to call it. There were rules to this. You had to come in and listen and pay your dues and do what you're told and follow. Because that's how you learn. That's how you become a greater wrestler. That's how you accomplish things instead of running all over the place. Because when you do that, you think you know everything. And even with all the years that I have in wrestling, I don't know everything.
Wow,
the best wrestler on earth, best wrestler on earth will tell you, I don't know everything. Because it's evolving.
Exactly.
It's always evolving.
Exactly. You know, and hey, I just heard from our one of the biggest characters in the Northwest named Chicken Bob, that there's been a sign guy has finally showed up, it looks like. So now I think it's time for me to put you over to the man who's so fly, he's going to take you to the sky. Because let me tell you why. He's better than baseball, hot dogs, and apple pie. Sign guy, brother, how you doing?
Doing all right today, Coach. Sorry I was a bit late. I had some business to attend to, but I want to thank you and our guests for holding down the fort while I was gone. And I have a question for you, because this being the time of year we're still in, we see a lot of outdoor shows, a lot of festivals and fairs and things like that have wrestling attached to them. Wrestling shows can be very different when presented outdoors as opposed to inside. Do you have a preference when it comes to wrestling inside or outside?
Oh, inside. Inside all day, every day. You will have a heat stroke while you're wrestling outside.
I've seen one or two in my day, so you're not wrong there.
Yeah. There was one incident when I was in California. I went to the top rope for a moonsault, and I almost passed out. I fell down to the second rope and caught myself. It was bad, and we just took it home from there. It was god awful hot. And no one thinks about that stuff. They're like, oh, well, they're in the ring. Yeah, well, heat rises, and when we're in the air jumping and lifting and throwing, we're killing ourselves.
Now, I don't know if it would apply to your career where you are at, but I know up here in the Northwest we've run in it a few times. Have you ever been on a show that's outside and then all of a sudden the rain came and started hitting the ring?
I have not had that happen. If it did, I would have so much fun with my gimmick.
I believe that 100%.
Had the rain come down with a Native American in the ring. Yeah. We're having fun with that.
Hopefully it's not a black vinyl canvas, though, because that's the worst part of it.
Slip and fall.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's take it out the ring. For sure.
Now, where you're at in the country, up in Arizona and in New Mexico and the Southwest in general, there's been pro wrestling for many, many years, but a lot of fans don't normally think of that area as a hotbed of wrestling, even though there's been wrestling there for generations. Do you think that the Southwest does not get the respect it deserves because of the geography and being away from a lot of the media centers, or do you think that a lot of people know about the Southwest and are familiar enough to have the respect for it?
I think that the respect for it is kind of picking up. I don't think it'll ever catch up, to be honest. It's very secluded from everybody. And that's a fact. I ended up moving to Texas. And everyone knows about the Von Erichs and everyone else there from Texas. That's why I made my move here. This is like a wrestling hotbed. You got Rodney Mack here, Jazz here, Booker T's here. You got a lot of big names here in Texas.
Absolutely. One of the things in pro wrestling that we've seen in the last 15 to 20 years is the decrease of managers at the national level. There were very, very few for a long time. It seems like there's more now than there has been in a very, very long time at the national level. On the independent circuit, there were more managers, but there weren't as many as perhaps years past. Do you think that the art of managing is something that is coming back into fashion and will be big like it was, say, in the 80s and early 90s, or do you think that that role is evolved to where it's not ever going to be quite what it was?
Well, this is my viewpoint on that, right? You got an increase or influx in managers, correct? Now, you got to look at the managers, if they're male, female, and who they're managing. So if they're managing someone that's able to talk, okay, now you could evaluate the quality of the management, because now they're not managing just because their people can't talk. And that's the way I view that. But if it's just because they can't talk, how good is the management? Are they good talkers? Now, I haven't seen much. There's some, but not much that would reflect or resemble anything of the previous or the past. Will it get there? Anyone could hone their craft, but they've really got to work at it. And that would depend more on the promoters and promotions demanding more from them. You know, if they're okay with just the status quo, then why would they do more besides that want of being the best, which a couple are?
One of the other roles that has changed a bit over the years is ring announcer. And especially on the independent circuit, a lot of times the ring announcer acts sort of like an MC for a party or a concert. And they are more involved in sort of getting hyped and interacting with the crowd than what ring announcers traditionally were, where they were there to give the fans the facts of the show, what they needed to know.
It has
evolved, but do you think that the role of ring announcer now is understood for the most part by people within the business, or do you think that it has changed to the point where it's not as vital as it used to be?
I think it's not as vital. I think it's muddied. you know, when you're going out there and you're trying to hype people and give facts and do this and not stay as traditional or classical, then what are you? You know, are you the hype man or are you the ring announcer? I myself prefer the traditional classic style because that's what I want. I want them to go out there. I want them to state the facts and be nothing else. I want them to stand there in the corner and announce the people and then exit the ring. It always gets on my nerves when they try to do more.
Now, there's been a lot of really good ring announcers, both independent and on the national level over the years. Who would you say has been the greatest ring announcer that you've seen on any level?
I don't know if he would call himself a ring announcer, but his name is Drew Riv, and when he's able to ring announce, he is one awesome brother. I use him as much as possible for my promotion.
A lot of companies in the last few years have started doing live over the PA system commentary, and sometimes a live commentator will have a grasp of how to do it and is fairly good at it. Most of the time, from what I've ever seen, they do not have an idea of what they are doing and are out there to amuse themselves at the expense of the matches going on in front of them and the promotion. A lot of people have various thoughts on live commentary over the PA system. Do you have a preference on that aspect of the business?
I don't believe that commentary over the PA where the crowd could hear it is necessary or even should be happening. A, it's distracting for the fans, the wrestlers, everybody involved. You're not there to entertain your friends. You know, even the best is going to be distracting. You're stealing the shine from the wrestlers. All their attention should be on what's going on in the ring. They're the ones that are supposed to be there entertaining. That's what they're being paid for. That's their job. And if you got someone on the microphone blabbing away, you're messing up the show. That's my thoughts about that.
The independent level, we know that the maintenance of and the care of the wrestling ring itself can vary. Some promoters take excellent care of the rings and they maintain them and replace things that need replacing and keep them looking TV quality every show. Some promoters put very little effort into maintenance and let the rings go, and it looks bad in front of the crowd. It can be dangerous sometimes. Do you have a favorite physical ring in which you wrestle?
No, I can't say that I have a favorite ring. I can say that I've wrestled in rings that look like you're walking on water. So I know that there are rings that I don't want to be in ever again. Some have been in Mexico. Some have been in Mississippi. There's There's been a couple other ones where they not only disrespect the people that pay for the show, because obviously you can't give a decent show in that. The wrestlers that are in there, you got to worry about their health and well-being, but obviously you don't, because your ring is shit. You know, you're disrespecting everybody. Forget about the people who came before you and have been doing this, so you could actually be able to try to come in there and make money.
Now, the main difference on a lot of rings is cables versus real ropes, and I know pretty much everybody has a strong preference one way or the other is what they like to have on the ring. What's your view on cables versus real ropes?
That really depends on what I'm going to be doing that night. If I'm going to be doing a lot of springboards, dive outs, moonsaults, stuff like that, cables, because they hold the tension better and they give me more spring. I'm a bigger guy. I need that. Ropes, they're easier to work. They're not going to leave bruises on certain parts. If you take the turnbuckle or want to whip into it really hard, you're not going to get bruised up. Cables, there's a good chance you will. A lot of people don't wrap the cables properly, which is to your previous question about ring care. So I guess I would, God, that's such a hard one. Which one would I prefer? I would go with cables.
That kind of depends on what type of match you're going to do, I guess.
Yeah. Honestly. I mean, 9 times out of 10, I would go with cables.
Fair enough. Coach and I both know that sometimes during the course of a show, the ropes will break, whether it's the top rope, which is usually the case, sometimes the middle, on rare occasion, the bottom rope will break, which isn't as big a deal most times. But have you been in situations where the ropes have broken during the course of your match?
Yeah, I had whipped my opponent, and he took the Irish whip. He went to hit the rope, and he leaned all the way into the rope and popped the top turnbuckle. He didn't break the rope. It just popped the buckle, and he went right over.
Hopefully he grabbed and was safe.
He wrapped his arm around when it popped over. He landed on his feet and rolled, so he was okay, but it could have ended up really bad.
Glad he was all right. I know that's scary whenever that happens.
Yeah. It was bad. But, I mean, he had saved it, and it's really nothing else we could do from there but continue.
One of the more popular matches traditionally over the years with fans has been the steel cage match. And even on the independent circuit, a lot of times you can find steel cage matches, and fans generally flock to those. Have you done a lot of steel cage matches in your career?
Well, this is a surprising one for me. I've done, I don't know how many types of matches, but this December I'm supposed to be doing my first steel cage match.
Wow.
Yeah. I've never
now,
done a steel cage.
Now, is it a situation where the promotions you normally work just do not have a steel cage, or was it a preference on either you or the promoters or something else that prevented a steel cage match from happening until now?
It's the cost of the cage or other matches that were going on, barefoot thumbtack matches, light tubes, stuff like that.
Alan, you say you've been in several different types of matches. Which match would you say has been the strangest stipulation you've done?
The strangest. I would say the barefoot thumbtack match.
Now, is that just thumbtacks all over the mat? And you had to wrestle on them?
Yeah, it was about 50,000 thumbtacks in the ring.
Oh, my
and
goodness.
I ended up using my tomahawk and removing some of the gentleman's hair during the match. Due to racial remarks from the crowd.
Oh
man.
Yeah. So I'm known for the only person to scalp someone in Northern California as to date.
Now, over the years on the independent level of pro wrestling, we've seen a lot of guys from television go to the independents and do very well. A lot of them are there just for a little while between national gigs. Some of them prefer the independent lifestyle and they will not go back to the national companies. Some of them
mm-hmm.
just are past their prime and are working independents because they can't get a job at the national level, but we see a lot of guys from TV wind up, for whatever reason, at the independents. Who are some of the guys from TV that you most enjoyed working with, whether it be directly or just having in a locker room?
Well, Jerry Lynn, he was a very cool guy. Very, very friendly, very helpful, not stuck up. Tommy Dreamer is another one. Marty Jannetty was really cool. I know a lot that weren't. who else? Gary Wolf. I'm going to be tagging with him. Pitbull number one.
You mentioned Tommy Dreamer, and this past week on Impact Wrestling, he came out to confront Kenny King, and he made mention that he lost his mother this year. He was diagnosed with skin cancer. And he lost Terry Funk in the last several days, making it the worst year of his life, not just his career. And he challenged Kenny King to a title versus career match where Tommy will stop wrestling if he loses. Tommy's had a very, very storied career, and he's having a tough year this year. Do you think Tommy Dreamer still has what it takes to be a national star with Impact Wrestling, or do you think his time might be coming to a close?
I think Tommy's time will come to a close when Tommy says it's time for it to come to a close, when he decides to take his boots off and put them in the middle of the ring. I don't think he's done as far as skill-wise. As far as body wise, I know a lot of other wrestlers that are a lot younger that need to do the same. But with him, he could keep going. It'll be his choice.
Well, at this point in time, I am going to hand you back over to the coach with the most, Coach Mike Jones, and let him help you out.
All right, yes. Man, I've been taking notes here. All right. And before I get back to my basic questions, I want to go over these notes so we don't forget them. For one, like you said, fine guy, this guy's a national chess champion. He's in books and stuff. So I would say that's definitely helped your wrestling career.
Yeah, it's definitely helped with strategy.
Okay, and then Gary Wolf. We love Gary Wolf. Gary Wolf is a member of the Real School Army. So please tell Gary Wolf that Coach Mike Jones and Sign Guy said hi, and you'll see his reaction.
All right.
He is one of those like top 100 greatest people of mankind, you know? Something like that.
he's a really cool guy.
And then we got an email question from, man, this guy is like Sign Guy's nemesis. His name is Darth Carter. This guy's jealous as hell. I think that's why Sign Guy's had to beat him up a few times. But anyway, he sent in a question. I think he wants to challenge you, Suma, where he wants to know what titles you've held.
Well, right now I have the Native American heavyweight title. I have our NWE tag team titles. I have a WAW heavyweight title. I have like five titles right now. What one did you want to compete for?
Just in your career, do you know how many you've held? Some people count, some people don't.
I don't count. That's a lot. I mean, honestly, this is what I will say. One of the greatest titles that me and my tag partner Robbie Phoenix held was the Great Japan Pro. We were the last tag team to hold them before they were retired.
Okay. Wow. Nice. Yep, and then we want to give a shout-out to Ron Von Hess. That's how we found you, through Ron, that we noticed you're at least his Facebook friends. What do you think about Ron?
Yeah, I know Ron. He's one of those vets that just keeps ticking. He's another one he'll put his boots down when he's ready.
Exactly. Okay, nice.
There isn't a time limit. It's when he's done.
Exactly. Okay, now back to the basic questions here, brother. This next segment is called Memorable Matches. So first of all, we'd like to know, what are the most memorable matches you've ever seen? And that includes on a VHS tape, CD, DVD, internet, live, you name it, best matches you've ever seen.
Oh, man. That's a deep one right there. Man, I was just watching a Dynamite Kid match the other day.
Who
was he wrestling? I can't remember who he was wrestling, but I mean. Any of Dynamite matches?
Oh yes.
They were insane. British Bulldog. He had a lot of David Boy Smith had a lot of great matches.
Exactly. Yes.
My boy Marty when he was younger.
Goodness! Yes.
Awesome.
Yes,
awesome.
I mean him and Sean was amazing, but you could see Marty was a little bit better. Yes.
Yeah, he was the driving force behind that. And like me and him have talked, he knows.
Nice, yes.
He knows that.
Okay.
There's a lot. Chris, Tatanka. That was the first real native that we got to see.
Okay, right on. And then that I've developed a couple more notes since you said that. I got a Dynamite Kid story. He started out like up in Canada or whatever, but then one of his first breaks was coming to Portland Wrestling. And so I come to, you know, I used to go to the shows in Tacoma where I grew up. I go down there to get a ticket, and it said, like, on the ticket booth, it said pro wrestling, and all they had was a picture of Dynamite Kid coming off the top rope. They didn't even have to put his name on there.
Wasn't he coming from
better?
Alberta then? Wasn't he coming from
like
Alberta?
That.
Yeah.
And then, and so, like I said, the point was all they had to do is put a picture on there. They didn't even have to put his name on there. And then, speaking of native wrestlers, are you familiar with Gary Littlewolf?
Yes, I am.
Okay, well, his brother was like one of my best friends and worked for years at this place called Air Systems in Tacoma, Washington. And unfortunately, he passed away like within the last year or so, probably 2 years now. And, it was sort of weird where we're working and stuff, and he told me one day, he said, he didn't seem sick or nothing, but he goes, man, the doctors told me I only got a few years to live, and I didn't want to buy that because I'm the type of guy, like, even if it's like someone's missing or this or that on the deathbed, I'm like holding out hope to the end, you know? So I just told him, I don't believe you, dude. I'm sorry. And then I just shrugged it off and we never talked about it again. He didn't hold me on it or nothing, you know? And I didn't think he's lying to me either. It's just, I didn't want to believe it, you know, mainly. And then I ended up quitting that job about a year later. And then I found out, now that's been about 5 years since I've been there. So, like I said, it's been a couple of years. So, anyway, if you ever see Gary Littlewolf, tell him Coach Mike Jones really loved his brother Steve. And, he made a big influence in my life, and he was a wonderful, beautiful person. Here's another thing about him. It's like he made his own guns, and he, like, showed his, like, he had, like, a bomb shelter with a gun room and stuff. Man, this gun room was full of guns, and, like, the deal where you can make your own AR-15s or something. So he had a whole deal of them. And then one of his best friends at Air Systems told me the story. You know, we're talking about Steve passed away. And Marco says, yeah, man, he put a picture on Instagram with him holding the pistol. And I instantly called him immediately and said, dude, what the hell are you doing? And then the cool thing and the point is, and it's been a long, drawn-out story, sorry, but was Steve listened to Marco. He had all that gunpowder, and he knew he was going to die. But the thing was, he went out gracefully, and I respect and admire him more for that, too.
Yeah.
Okay, so back to the interview. Okay, now, what are your most memorable matches you've been in? My goodness, you've already mentioned a few with a lot of legends.
I would have to say when we were in Tokyo, me and my tag partner, when we were wrestling there, I'm supposed to go back at the end of this year. I'm going to be tag teaming with Ricky Fuji.
Wow, yes.
So, I don't know about the most memorable, but I'm not done yet. So,
all right. And then, is there any matches that the fans can look up that you've had that you might think that the memorable matches, like the ones in Japan? Who'd you wrestle?
you know, I can't. One of them is the great Kabuki's son or nephew, Buki.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And I can't pronounce the other one's name. And
okay,
you guys
yeah.
will have to forgive me if you hear this, Hugo. who else? When we fought the Pillars of Destiny, Paul Titan.
Okay, yeah. Okay,
his tag partner.
And then, okay. And then speaking of Mr. Fuji, we love him over here in the Northwest. We've been blessed to have a Mr. Fuji weekend seminar deal that Ron brought to the Northwest. So, yes, we love him over here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
I think he was telling me about that.
Okay, and then you've wrestled for a long time. How many different characters have you been in wrestling as a wrestler?
I would say two. Only two, and the first one really wasn't by my choosing. I didn't like it. I didn't like the fit. I wasn't myself. And when I became the one that I am now, I was warned deeply against it. Everyone told me not to do it.
Oh.
They told me,
okay,
"Oh, well, you're going to get stuck in a box. You're not going to be able to go anywhere. You're going to get put as the token Indian." I was like, "All right, well, I'm going to change that whole theory. I'm going to change that whole vibe."
You did, my goodness. Man, and you made everyone proud, my goodness. What I mean by that is the natives and your fans and supporters.
Yeah, I get literally thousands of messages and emails about how proud they are and how they look up to me and how I've changed the way they do things, and like now I'm going to Canada to present an offering to one of the chiefs there on my next tour to Canada. There's so much that's going on right now, and grandfather's truly blessed me on the path that I'm on.
Okay, and hold on, before we go any farther, I went to the concert in Chicago after work last night. My goodness, so I didn't have time to produce this show till late today. And, man, sometimes these shows, there's a chance it might cut off in about 15 seconds. I doubt it will because my song played. Usually when your song played, you're good. So, anyway, I just want to let you know if that happens. I'm sure it won't. And then other than that, Stein Guy, how much time you got today?
I got a few more minutes.
Okay, and then Suma, do you mind me calling you Suma? Is that your nickname, or what? Do you have a nickname?
Sumate.
Sumate, okay. How much more time you got, brother?
How much time you need.
Okay, yeah, I'm enjoying this, so I'm going to go a little longer. Yes, we did pass the threshold. They'll give us another hour. I'm not saying we want to go another hour, but we're flowing pretty good, and I've almost got most of my questions in. But since Sign Guy's only got a little bit of time, let me give you back to Sign for a minute.
Okay.
Thank you, Coach. Like Coach said, we're up here in the Pacific Northwest, and here in the Northwest, we have had a few Native Americans pass through here. The Youngblood brothers were up here for quite a while. Adnan KC actually did a Native American gimmick when he first started wrestling up here in the Pacific Northwest. So we have a history of some famous ones. Have you ever wrestled up here in the Pacific Northwest?
You know, I don't think so.
Well,
I'm trying to think.
Get on that and get you up here at some point.
I'm going to be changing that. Yes, Lord willing.
Most definitely.
And we know that also in your career, you've probably seen a wide variety of different gimmicks. And, of course, pro wrestling has seen everything from farmers to hillbillies to police officers to clowns and everything else you can think of at some point in time or another. What do you think has been the strangest gimmick that you have seen?
Oh, my God. When they do that, what is that called? I don't even know what it's called. I've seen one where they were in a giant cereal box. Another one was a dinosaur.
The New Day.
Yeah. It just weird shit. And that's not professional wrestling. That's excuse my language, but that's clown shit. It's fun and entertaining, but it's not wrestling. To me, like, that type of stuff makes fun of what we do. It's making fun of our craft. I don't think it belongs in a ring. But that's my personal thoughts.
Now, on the flip side of that, what do you think has been the most brilliant gimmick that you have seen?
Besides myself.
Besides yourself.
He goes by the name The Wood Chipper here in Texas, Chris Lyons. What's up, Chris? I am into realism. I don't like fake. I don't think that the fans buy into that. I don't think they deserve that. I don't think they want little ninjas or green painted aliens or any weird shit. I think they want something that they could buy into, that they could see themselves being or want to be a part of. You know what I mean? And he does a lot of martial arts, pancrase, and other stuff, and he wrestles in that format and style. Another one here is Brick Savage, and his tag partner Damo. They are the opposite of what you would get from the new people who are in the industry. They're not new. They are very big, very physical. The aggression is real. And I enjoy that. I enjoyed working with Brick.
Now, I know you have most likely done a lot of tag team wrestling, and tag team is a different animal than singles matches. Do you enjoy doing tag team matches, or would you rather stay single?
You're absolutely correct. Tag team is a totally different animal. While I'm tagging with Robbie Phoenix, it's easy. Oh, my God, it's easy because we both know each other. We know each other's movesets. We've been wrestling around or with each other for 20-plus years. We know each other. You know what I mean? When you're with a tag partner that can't read your movements, can't read your setups, how you're going to do things, that makes everything so much harder. So It would depend on who I'm tagging with. Because sometimes when you're tagging, it makes everything easier. Because if I'm tagging with Robbie, I could just pick someone up and throw them in the air. And I know once he's over my head, my partner will take care of that. Because that's the setup.
Another part of wrestling that some wrestlers love to do and other ones hate it with a passion is the battle royal. And it seems like there's strong opinions, no matter the wrestler, but on both ends of the spectrum. What do you think of doing battle royals?
I usually end up doing them now to clean up people's messes. So it gets aggravating. When you go into a battle royal, it's not to do 100 suplexes or 100 spots. It's not even to do a handful of spots. You got so many people in that ring that that's not what that's for. And people forgot that. So I prefer to stay out of that environment if possible.
Now, we talked earlier of the live commentary for the shows over the PA system, but on your standard television show, whether it is on traditional TV or if it's on one of the streaming services or on YouTube, there's still traditional television out there with commentators doing the announcing that's only heard for the viewers of the television show, not the live fans. Do you have a favorite person that has ever called one of your matches for television?
There is a gentleman out here in Texas, Anthony. He does commentary and so does Chevy for a place called UPW. They're really good together. They got good chemistry on the mic. That's what it takes for good commentary. A good back and forth.
Now, television right now might be the hottest it's ever been for pro wrestling. You have, at the national level, WOW Women of Wrestling on the CW network and CBS affiliates. You have WWE on the USA Network and Fox Network. You have AEW on TNT and TBS. You have Impact Wrestling in New Japan on Access TV. There's wrestling literally every day of the week on national television. There's also a lot of independent promotions that have regional television. Do you see a lot of promotions that you work for getting those television deals, whether it's traditional broadcast television or cable or even some of the streaming services?
Are you there?
I'm here, Coach.
Sumate.
I'm here, Coach. Can you hear me?
I can. Did he drop off? It sounds like it, maybe. Let me check.
He may have.
Okay, yep. Let me see. Studio. Okay, nope, he's not back yet. But hold your... Okay, look, he just messaged me. Okay. Oh, yes, remember, he can't come back.
Yeah,
okay.
We're past threshold.
Oh. Yeah, let me message him. So, yes, do you have a date you could give him for Turnbuckle, and I can ask him if he's available?
Let me get out the official date book. Let's see. We have October 15, 22nd, and 29 open, Coach.
October 15th? Okay, 15, what?
22nd and 29th.
Okay, and then I might try to see if he can finish it tomorrow on mine, you know. Would you be available tomorrow after ours? I mean, it could be later at 8 o'clock at night. He's in Texas, though.
I might be able to.
But actually, you don't really need to, because like you're basically finished, huh?
More or less. I mean, not finished for good. I'm not dead yet.
Okay. Yeah, we were wrapping up. Okay. So anyway, back to the dates. October 15. I'm sorry.
22nd and 29th.
22nd and 29. Okay, I'll message him on that. And then let me see. So anyway, tell the fans what you got coming up while I'm messaging him.
Well, episode 494 of The Sign of the Times delayed a lot. There were technical glitches that kept it from posting, but I should have it. And then, of course, episode 595 of The Sign of the Times upcoming very soon. And you'll be very pleased to know, Coach, we have a major botany update in the episode 595 upcoming. Also, on Turnbuckle tomorrow, we have with us Billy Knox out of West Virginia. He is the RSW Internet Champion. He works for a number of promotions over there in the West Virginia area. We're excited for that. On Friday afternoon, we have the return of Gary Morgenstein, former PWI editor and the author of some of our favorite dystopian future baseball-related books. His third installment is very close to hitting the shelves. And 1 week from tomorrow, we have Mick Karch coming to Turnbuckle. I've been anticipating this for a very long time. I'm hugely excited for Mick Karch to be joining us. Fans will remember him from the AWA on ESPN, the AWF, which was a nationally televised company, many, many Midwest-based pro wrestling shows that had TV, especially out of Minnesota, CAC member. We're excited for Mick Karch. And also, 1 week from today, I will be back at Northwest Pro at the Key Peninsula Civic Center, the return of Mikey O'Shea, and also 1 more week from that, on the 16th, CPW will be making its debut in Port Orchard, Washington, so I'll be there. And then 1 week from that, on the 23rd, that is when CPW will be back at the Markwood in Arlington, Washington for Pajama Jam. Pajama Jam coming back to the Northwest.
Awesome. Okay. And then what about Chicken Bob and you? How do people contact you if we need to?
Well, all the various ways. You can email me if you want, signguyswrestlingshow@hushmail.com. You can get on the Book of Faces. You can get on the Twitter, where the X, the Gram, Chicken Bob on all of those socials as well. His Gram will be updated later today. He's been to a few places, and he's got a big photo dump to make onto his Gram, so look for that later today. And also, Chicken Bob has also been reading the current book I've been reading, O'Ree, the story of Willie O'Ree, the African-American NHL player. He's very impressed with it. What a great book.
Awesome. Okay. And then anything else you'd like to plug or promote?
Chicken Bob and I will also be at Collision when it hits Seattle at the Climate Pledge Arena in Seattle on the 30th. And then as soon as tickets go on sale, we are hoping to land tickets for the New Japan / AEW pay-per-view, also at Climate Pledge Arena, the following night. And you might find us at a few baseball games around the Puget Sound before the season concludes. Also, go Reds!
Yes, and then information on the Reds? Eli,
they're playing the reviled Cubs this week, Coach. I hate those Cubs. Hate them with a passion.
But Eli De La Cruz and Matt McClain have really been making a splash this year, right?
They absolutely have. I hope they lock De La Cruz into a long-term deal. And what about that Joey Votto coming back from injury? He's not done yet.
Okay, awesome. And then let me see. What about the Mariners today? They're playing the Mets. You don't like the Mets either.
I hate those guys. Hate them with the passion. Never gave them for Tom Seaver. Never once did I forgive them for the whole Tom Seaver thing.
Yeah, okay, yes. Yeah, Tom was even upset at that for a while, right?
Oh, yeah.
And then Sparky warmed him over with some world championships.
Yeah, and then imagine having to go back to the Mets in the early 80s.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, and then let me see. Yeah, the Mariners today, we have, let's see, I got the information on that. We got Luis Castillo, the former Red on the mound. He's had a great year this year. He's in the running for the Cy Young. He's 11-7 with the 3.01 ERA. He's going against David Peterson, who's 3-7 with the 5.23. The Mets have had a horrendous year this year for the talent that's on their roster. They're 62-73. And the Mariners are now 76-58. Man, they've been doing great. And they've been in first place for a majority of the time lately.
Now, Coach, who do you think's going to wind up in this whole World Series?
You know, I'm going for the Mariners. If they can keep the chemistry together that they've developed ever since they shocked people with their trade deadline moves that we didn't think was good enough, came with that trade deadline thing or situation was you can't measure the heart, the soul, and the chemistry that they developed from that trade. And, man, it's really made a difference, and I think they're going to go all the way if they keep it up. Well, one thing that they need to stop, though, I really didn't enjoy them bragging and being all excited about beating up on Oakland. Oakland A is the worst team in baseball. They need to cool that crap, because if they keep that up, they will not win the World Series. But if they can shake bragging out there and just focus more, just like the Big Red Machine, what would they do? They would, like, give a high five and move on, right?
Yeah, that's true. Now, did you know that it was a member of the Oakland A's that invented the high five? His name was Glenn Burke, and he first gave the first ever high five to Dusty Baker when Dusty Baker helped with that home run record in, I believe it was the 78 playoff push.
Okay, yeah. And then, so are you pretty much good for the day?
No, you're thinking of Phil Good. He's good for every day.
Okay, so let me give my upcoming schedule. Yes, we're going to try to get Sumate back on tomorrow to finish up the show. I'm going to work on scheduling that. I'll post it on Facebook mainly. And then, because I got the Coach Mike Jones Show podcast page on Facebook. So next week I got Y.T.Jones from Alaska next week. And then on the 16th, Ken Hamlin is returning. We tried having him on a few weeks ago, but the show did not work. So we got him returning on the 16th. And then on the 23rd, I rescheduled the nice man, Hank Miller. And we're working on others that once we get those dates locked in, we'll give you guys the information. But you guys can check me out at Coach Mike Jones, the coach with the most. Coach Mike Jones on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, and Twitter. Don't forget to check out the Real School Army and the NGW Green Room for hundreds of interviews from celebrities all over the world. And you can also check out the Never Were, who has my song that they made, the Coach Mike Jones Show walk-on song. So, Sign Guy, I want to thank you. I hope you have a great day, a great week, a Memorial or a holiday weekend, and we'll go from there. Thanks, you guys.
Labor Day,
appreciate
Coach.
It.
It's
Love
Labor
you.
Day.
Labor Day, yes. I've been working so hard. Man, I'm so tired. Like I said, I went to the concert last night after work. Was late scheduling this or producing the show today. So, yes, I'm going to go take a nap about right now. Thanks, guys. We love you for all your feedback, your support, input, questions you send us. We love you so much. Thank you.
That's right, everybody. You know who it is. Coach Mike Jones on the coach with the most. Coming at you hard from coast to coast. I don't want to boast, but now I got to roast you in my social media posts. You double dose or diagnose. You feeling tired, life expired, now you're a ghost. I'll be your host, so won't you raise a toast to the coach with the most, Coach Mike Jones.